Ladies, did you know that your ability to live and feel authentically feminine is connected to your sexual power? Gentlemen, have you ever wondered what's behind those days when she seems to shine from within? If you answered yes to either of those questions, stay tuned for The O-Spot with best-selling romance author Rachel Kenley and get to the source of your power so you are living a life of greater connection and joy.
Good evening. It's Wednesday night, August 5th. It's just after 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Welcome to The O-Spot. I'm your host, Rachel Kenley. And believe it or not, I got on while that lovely voiceover was doing my introduction. Usually I get on, you know, right at like 10:02, so during the news. And tonight I am such a mess that I was having trouble getting on at my usual time. I started to try to call up Skype, and because I have probably close to 30 tabs open on my internet right now, and my computer is over 2 years old, I slowed everything down and pulled me in here. Have you guys had those kinds of days, weeks, months? Yeah, you can't get a hold of what you wanted to do and how you wanted to be. So that's kind of where I am right now. My oldest son's final baseball game of the season was tonight. Yes, it is August 5th, and we just finished playing baseball. We started at the end of March with practices and stuff. Couldn't get on fields for a while. For those of you who know about New England, we had massive amounts of snow, but end of March to now the first week of August, and we're now finally finished. But his team was in the championships. They had made it there through the finals undefeated, lost yesterday, bringing a best of three series to a 1-1 tie, and tonight they lost. And it's a little heartbreaking. It's really hard to be a mom at this kind of moment. A friend of mine put up something on Facebook tonight. She actually came by to wish our team good luck. And let me see if Facebook can even open it. As I said, I have so many tabs open. And once I open this one, I will then close that tab. Oh, my gosh. But it was a comment about moms. And I think I can actually even remember it. It says, mom, the person who holds everything and everyone together, even when she's the one falling apart. And right now I feel just about ready to fall apart. Ah, there it is. Yep, that's what it says. Who holds every woman, person who, the glue, mama, the glue that holds everything together, even when she feels like she may fall apart. So if you hear sort of that wavering in my voice, that's what it is. My younger son came to the game and was watching, and he was so mad because when he's watching, he feels like they lose because he's watching. And at the end of the game, he was crying a bit, and he goes, is it okay that I'm crying even though this isn't about me? And I had to give him a quick lesson about empathy, about caring about something because somebody else cares about it. And certainly this game mattered a great deal to my son and his teammates, and it's hard. It's really hard. So, yeah, let's all be sexually empowered at times like this. Let's be authentic at times like this. Let's be strong at times like this. Yeah, just want a nice fruity drink. Pretty lemonade with a pretty umbrella and maybe some pieces of fruit in it, like a pineapple or a strawberry. Or chocolate. I'm actually usually more of a... I tend to eat rather than drink when I'm feeling like this. I want chocolate to make me feel better opposed to alcohol, but I think liquor works quicker is the expression. So there's that. All right. Let's try to turn things around. Although, because of where I am, everything I had originally, or the things I had originally thought about talking about or focusing on tonight just didn't want to work. Sure. I think about the night I start to yawn. All right. So, for our oh my section, I usually try to find something that is big in the news this week. And I didn't remember really seeing anything that sort of struck me. So I went to the major news source headlines sites. I was like, oh, hold on. I just really want to know how many tabs I have open here. They're so flipping tiny. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, and 32. Now, 32 is very important. The one on 32 is my clock tab. It tells me exactly where I am on my timing. So that one's not closing until we're done together. So, gentlemen, have you ever heard the expression, what's it like to be a woman? Imagine the internet with 300 tabs open. Okay, I have 30 right now. That's enough to kind of give you an idea of how crazy it is. So I went to the major news headlines. I have ABC News up and I had NBC News up. And the headlines are either dull or incredibly depressing. We have some things about the upcoming debates. Are we all excited about that coming up, huh? We have a year of this, people. Over a year. Had some comments about the missing plane that's been found. I didn't know there's a Legionnaires' disease outbreak in New York City, or New York, I should say. Tomorrow, the 6th of August, marks the 70th anniversary of the dropping of the first bomb on Hiroshima. I should say the bomb on Hiroshima, which is the first bomb. There was a second bomb dropped 3 days later. I didn't remember that as the date. It's one of those things, you know, those of us who lived through 9/11 can't imagine it slipping into memory. Those who remember that date 70 years ago probably can't imagine how our generation doesn't remember it. So it hit me, you know, people complain about Kim Kardashian being the one, you know, having all the headlines and you know, that's what people can't help but talk about is it seems like what's happening in the world is what's happening in the entertainment world. And by entertainment, I'm stretching it with the reality stars, but that they would rather, that those shows get more ratings, more attention, more headlines than the quote unquote real news. And then I looked at the headlines of the real news and all I could think of was, well, no wonder. These are just awful and depressing. I tend not to listen to the daily news. I will listen to some radio shows because it doesn't distract me as much. And I don't get the images, which I have trouble getting out of my head. So, you know, you have to scroll all the way down the page of this page to find a happy story, which is a Minnesota boy uses his Make-A-Wish to feed the hospital that saved him. So it takes so long to get to good news that it's no wonder that what people are gravitating to are things like entertainment news. I can't say as I'm surprised on some level. It's just too much. It weighs us down. So in important entertainment news, Miss Piggy announced on her Facebook page that she and Kermit are breaking up. Yep. There goes my childhood. Sure, I didn't need that. it might be news to Kermit. I'm not sure he'd ever thought of them as being together. But hey, she did announce that they will be possibly seeing other people. But they remain good friends and close work colleagues, which is a good thing because their new show, The Return of the Muppet Show, is coming, which I'm looking forward to. And I understand, however, that the style of it is sort of entertainment news and reality show like, so the fact that they've quote unquote broken up already could very well be because, you know, it's sort of a pre-publicity stunt. So we'll just have to tune into the Muppet Show and find out. Also in this last week, however, there was a very important holiday that actually, if you look it up, you'll find mostly posts from the UK, which is very sad. We need to make this more of an important thing here in the United States. But July 31st, okay, which was last week, Thursday, I believe. Nope, Friday. It was National Orgasm Day. Did you miss it? I think you can celebrate it at any time, in any way, in any time you'd like. It's sort of like Valentine's Day. I don't like romance being put all in one day. I don't think an orgasm should be placed having that kind of, I don't think an orgasm should have that kind of pressure put on it. It's hard enough as is for some women, but it is something worth celebrating. So it's mostly online lore. Yes, July 31st, National Orgasm Day. And as I posted on my Facebook page, I'm like, it's coming. Ha ha. Isn't that funny? So, I thought that was a more important, oh my, piece of news. So according to a study published a few years ago, here's the 75% of women have trouble having orgasms during intercourse, at least during intercourse alone. If it weren't for oral sex and sex toys, most women wouldn't be so backed up. Would be so backed up, we'd have to invent orgasm laxatives to help things move along. Oh God, let's never, ever, ever invent that. Okay. So for the women who have had orgasms who find it difficult to come by, that they suggest on this article page called Blog Her, BLOG HER.com, speak more candidly with your lover about what works and what doesn't. And by the way, if you've never had an orgasm by yourself, first start that way, because then you know what you like and what works and how your partner can then please you. In fact, you can masturbate for them and show them. That's always a fun thing. All right. I'm going to close two more tabs on my internet here while we go into my first break. Come back for our Oh No section here on the O Spot. I'm Rachel Kenley on Om Times Radio.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host for the O Spot, Rachel Kenley, here on Om Times Radio. It's good to be here. You know, as crazy as my day was and as much as part of me wants to kind of curl up in a ball, I think being here with all of you is a good thing for me. So welcome, and thank you for tuning in, whether you're tuning in when I'm live here on Wednesday night or during the week. All right, well, how many of you have very few things going on in your life right now? Yeah, I know I'm on the radio, but I'll bet there's like dead silence no matter what. And how many of you don't have anything new that you're trying
to deal with. But that's a real quiet response too. I can imagine like crickets in the background on that. So that's kind of how I realized I was feeling today. The last few days, a week ago, I think I told you, I got this wonderful new contract to write 6 to 10 novellas, retelling fairy tales with a new twist. And I've started working on it, but part of me is clenching up. You know that feeling. Panic. Fear. Oh my God. Going out on the skinny branches. Reaching for fresher fruit. Ah! We've talked about this on the show several times. What fear does to us. And right now, the other thing that's coming up a lot for me is overwhelm and doubt. So that's my oh no. How on earth are we supposed to, am I supposed to feel empowered and beautiful, strong, solid? I posted on my Facebook page the other day something about, you know, deep inside you, there's this place in you where there's this unshakable core. Find it, use it, reach it, something like that. And today, you know, when I posted it, I meant it. I loved it. I know it's true. And today, not so much. Not so much. I have this new project. I'm really focused on doing things for my business, for my writing, for helping other writers write, by the way. I'm a ghostwriter, so get in touch with me, by the way, if you have a book you need help getting written and want to hire someone to do that with you. But also one of my dearest friends has actually moved in with me for the next few weeks because she's just sold one house and her next house is not ready yet. So she has two cats who so far my two cats absolutely hate. And I'm not quite sure how that's all going to work or look or turn out. So that's pretty scary right now. And I'm feeling ridiculously overwhelmed. And so since I was going to be coming here with you, I thought, okay, well, let's look up what to do when you feel overwhelmed. And interestingly enough, on my pages, the top two Google, choices were first by Forbes, which of course is business magazine, and the second was Oprah.com in her spirit section. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting that you have Forbes, which is very focused on, everybody thinks of Forbes, you know, for business, the Forbes 500, 400, 100, you know, Forbes is all about business. And Oprah is all about, is in the section, it's all about spirit. And it made sense to me too, because we do feel overwhelmed from so many different directions in our life. Somebody once explained the definition of stress to me this way. Wherever you are right now, if you're not driving and you can pick something up, just pick something up in your hand. My cell phone's pretty close by. So I'm holding my cell phone in my hand, my palm out, my cell phone is on it. Okay. That's pretty comfortable. I hold onto it all the time, damn it. So whatever you're holding in your hand, just look at it. Could you hold it the same way you're holding it right now for 5 minutes? Probably. How about for an hour? 6 hours? 12 hours? A day? A week? Longer? The truth is, with stress, with feeling overwhelmed, it's not the size of what it is. It's the intensity and the length and the ongoingness of it. That's what's so hard. It just, you don't feel like you know how to manage it and how to break it down. And it gets a huge hold of you. I know right now, overwhelm has a huge hold of me, which means, sadly, that fear has a huge hold of me. Yes, you're hearing me click something's closed because I thought, oh, I don't actually need to do that one. The Forbes article, written by a woman, named Erica Anderson, and Erica's with a K in there, her article in their leadership section. 7 things to do if you're feeling overwhelmed. Too much to do, too little time to do it. Too many people making demands on your time, all with conflicting agendas. Sound familiar? 20 years or so at the dawn of the electronic age, people were prophesizing that less paper and more technology would free us to work less and pay more attention to the most important things of our lives. Unfortunately, those predictions seem to have been dead wrong. We may not be getting paid for working more hours than we were 20 years ago, but given smartphones, emails, and colleagues in a variety of time zones, many of us seem to be spending a lot more time in work-related activities than ever before. My husband actually commented about that recently, by the way. I'm breaking out of the article for a second, that computers have made something so much harder. And the truth is almost every technological jump increased stress, work, and lots of other things, and didn't quite live up to its prediction. In fact, when the car came out and people realized there wouldn't be horse droppings all over the roads, they were like, woohoo, no more pollution. Yeah, all the people who worry about the climate change will tell you that probably should have stuck with the horses. Anyway, when it comes to that aspect, nothing else. Okay, so people in leadership, let me go back to the article. People in leadership and management positions seem to be particularly squeezed, especially since the recession spans of control have broadened, and at the same time, managers expected to accomplish more with fewer resources. So her business strategies are only do what you can do. And she encourages leaders to make this their mantra. So am I the only person who can do something? And if I'm not, delegate it. And this is true in your household too. Was there somebody else who can do the laundry once a week? Is there somebody else who can cook once a week, load the dishwasher, unload the dishwasher? Chances are, and even if they don't do it as well or the same as you do, at least you're not doing it. Trust me, get some help. All right, making meetings count. That's not something for your everyday lives. Stay conscious, which has to do with the miscellaneous stuff that we all get distracted by. And when we get distracted, that's when time disappears and we get caught up in games or other things and we're not using our time wisely. She also suggests questioning your assumptions. Too often we do things. Oh, no. Say God bless you. Thank you. Both professionally and personally, because we assume we have to, or ready for this one, we've always done it that way. Think about the things you do regularly that feel like a waste of time. It may be because they yield so little value for you and others, given the time spent, that you should think about dropping them all together. So ask yourself if something really needs to get done and what would happen if you didn't do it. That's a pretty good idea. I don't know if any of you, I hope some of you know this, but there's an old joke about a family who the wife was making a roast for dinner. And the first thing she did was she cut the ends off both sides. And her husband said, you know, I've always seen you do this. Why do you cut the ends off the roast? And she said, I don't know. I said, I just assume that's what everybody does. He goes, well, you're the only one I've ever seen do it. She goes, well, I did it because my mother always did it. And she said, okay, well, let's call mom. So they call it mom. You know, why did you cut the ends off the sides of the roast? And she said, you know what? I don't know. I always did it that way. My mother did it that way. So they get grandma on the phone. Grandma, can you answer this question? What question? Why did you cut the ends off of the roast? She said, because it was too big to fit the pan. Her reason way back then has nothing to do with now. So it's something to look at when we're feeling overwhelmed is what are we doing that doesn't need to be done? Because that certainly takes us out of our power and our ability to feel strong and focused and connected to what we want to be and should be doing. All right, I love this next one. I actually heard a speaker say this once. Find time to think. No matter how slammed you are, if you carve out some time, even 15 minutes a day, to step back from the fray, look at your life and work from a distance, it will help you use the rest of your time more effectively. It can feel like a mini vacation, lowering your heart rate and your blood pressure in a way that feels truly rejuvenating. And that could free you to see your way through some challenging situation or a fresh way about a problem that's been stumping you. So take think time. Try to build it into your day. It's something I'd heard of before. I was going to try and when I saw it in the article, I'm like, oh, I forgot to think. So don't forget to think. Okay, get real support. Often when we're feeling under the gun, we vent to family, friends, and colleagues, complaining and maybe even whining about our difficulties. And in some small doses, this can be a relief, but a steady diet of this makes you feel worse. We've talked about this. You know, what you focus on expands. What you think about, you bring about. Focus on your problems, you get more problems. Or worse, your problems get bigger. So I joke about saying I need to stop focusing on my ass when it comes to losing weight, because I'm focusing on it, it's expanding. Actually, it's not. I'm losing weight. Shh. But get real support. If you're complaining to your family about work and you're complaining at work about your family, you're complaining to people who can't help. If you have challenges with your family, talk to your family. If you have challenges at work, talk to the people at work. Otherwise, you are just wasting time. And you're wasting the listener's time because nothing's going to get accomplished. Guess what? You feel more overwhelmed. And number 7 is my favorite. Say no. No is an answer. No does not need to be qualified any more than yes needs to be qualified, and it can be a lifesaver. It is not an easy thing for a lot of people to say, and we do qualify it. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I wish I could. I have people who are in the business of making your wishes happen. So if you wish you could, they will find a way to make it happen. Just say no. It doesn't fit in with my schedule right now. No, I can't. Thank you for asking, but no. If they, however they respond, is about them, not about you. You are holding on to your power, your boundaries, your priorities by saying no. And hopefully that will make you feel a little less overwhelmed. How's that to end our own now? Say no. Just say no. Ugh. All right. Come back for the next section, the oh yes section of the O Spot here on Om Times Radio.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
I've got my tabs down to 20, everybody. Isn't that wonderful? No, it's still pretty sad. Okay, I have a really great video from a TED Talk,
And it's going to take up most of the next section. So I'm going to introduce it quickly. And if it goes over into the next section, so be it. You know I love these. And I don't do them. I do them as a way of having guests with you that I couldn't have otherwise. And I also do it as a way for you to realize there are some tremendous resources out there for all of you. Places you can look to find things, to ways to connect. I mean, that's what Om Times Radio is all about. All these voices in the night and in the day and in our lives, helping us to see things, feel things, think about things a little differently. So for my oh yes today, I was really thinking, I have been thinking a lot about having faith. And I don't mean spiritual faith, although it's interesting that she's going to mention that. Just that unshakable belief that if I go for this goal that I have in my life right now around financial success, around my business success, that it's going to happen. And obviously, it's more than just faith. You know, you know, people read The Secret and they say, oh, you just have to think it and then it happens. No, you have to be in action. This is Leslie Hazelton. It's a TED Talk that has over a million views. It was filmed in June of 2013 in Edinburgh, Scotland. And it's speaking, and she's not a quiet voice, but a soft voice, Leslie Hazelton. And this is the piece about her. When Leslie Hazelton was writing a biography of Muhammad, she was struck by something. The night he received the revelation of the Quran, according to early accounts, his first reaction was doubt, awe, even fear. And yet this experience became the bedrock of his belief. Hazelton calls for a new appreciation of doubt and questioning as the foundation of faith and an end to fundamentalism of all kinds. So, yes, this is a foundation of faith as in a spiritual faith, but it's also the importance and understanding that doubt happens even when you have faith in your goals, yourself, your dreams. Don't let the fact that you have doubts stop you. This is Leslie Hazelton in her 2013 talk, The Doubt Essential to Faith.
It's a journey into the foreign territory of somebody else's life. A journey, an exploration that can take you places you'd never dreamed of going. And still can't quite believe you've been, especially if, like me, you're an agnostic Jew, and the life you've been exploring is that of Muhammad. 5 years ago, for instance, I found myself waking each morning in misty Seattle to what I knew was an impossible question. What actually happened one desert night, half the world and almost half of history away? What happened, that is, on the night in the year 610 when Muhammad received the first revelation of the Quran on a mountain just outside Mecca? This is the core mystical moment of Islam. And as such, of course, it defies empirical analysis. Yet the question wouldn't let go of me. I was fully aware that for someone as secular as I am, just asking it could be seen as pure chutzpah. And I plead guilty as charged, because all exploration, physical or intellectual, is inevitably, in some sense, an act of transgression, of crossing boundaries. Still, some boundaries are larger than others. So, a human encountering the divine, as Muslims believe Muhammad did? To the rationalist, this is a matter not of fact, but of wishful fiction. And like all of us, I like to think of myself as rational, which might be why when I looked at the earliest accounts we have of that night, what struck me even more than what happened was what did not happen. Muhammad did not come floating off the mountain as though walking on air. He did not run down shouting, "Hallelujah and bless the Lord." he did not radiate light and joy. There were no choirs of angels, no music of the spheres, no elation, no ecstasy, no golden aura surrounding him. No sense of an absolute foreordained role as the messenger of God. That is, he did none of the things that might make it easy to cry foul, to put down the whole story as a pious fable. Quite the contrary. In his own reported words, he was convinced at first that what had happened couldn't have been real. At best, he thought it had to have been a hallucination, a trick of the eye or the ear, perhaps, or his own mind working against him. At worst, possession, and he'd been seized by an evil jinn, a spirit out to deceive him, even to crush the life out of him. In fact, he was so sure that he could only be Majnun, possessed by a jinn, that when he found himself still alive, his first impulse was to finish the job himself, to leap off the highest cliff and escape the terror of what he'd experienced by putting an end to all experience. So the man who fled down the mountain that night trembled not with joy, but with a stark, primordial fear. He was overwhelmed not with conviction, but by doubt. And that panicked disorientation, that sundering of everything familiar, that daunting awareness of something beyond human comprehension, can only be called a terrible awe. This might be somewhat difficult to grasp now that we use the word awesome to describe a new app or a viral video. With the exception, perhaps, of a massive earthquake, we're protected from real awe. We close the doors and hunker down, convinced that we're in control, or at least hoping for control. We do our best to ignore the fact that we don't always have it, and that not everything can be explained. Yet, whether you're a rationalist or a mystic, whether you think the words Muhammad heard that night came from inside himself or from outside, what's clear is that he did experience them, and that he did so with a force that would shatter his sense of himself and his world and transform this otherwise modest man into a radical advocate for social and economic justice. Fear was the only sane response, the only human response. Too human for some, like conservative Muslim theologians who maintain that the account of his wanting to kill himself shouldn't even be mentioned, despite the fact that it's in the earliest Islamic biographies. They insist that he never doubted for even a single moment, let alone despair. Demanding perfection, they refuse to tolerate human imperfection. Yet what exactly is imperfect about doubt? As I read those early accounts, I realized it was precisely Muhammad's doubt that brought him alive for me, that allowed me to begin to see him in full, to accord him the integrity of reality. And the more I thought about it, the more it made sense that he doubted. Because doubt is essential to faith. If this seems a startling idea at first, consider that doubt, as Graham Greene once put it, is the heart of the matter. Abolish all doubt, and what's left is not faith, but absolute, heartless conviction. You're certain that you possess the truth, inevitably offered with an implied uppercase T. And this certainty quickly devolves into dogmatism and righteousness, by which I mean a demonstrative overweening pride in being so very right. In short, the arrogance of fundamentalism. It has to be one of the multiple ironies of history that a favorite expletive of Muslim fundamentalists is the same one once used by the Christian fundamentalists known as crusaders. Infidel, from the Latin for faithless. Doubly ironic in this case, because their absolutism is in fact the opposite of faith. In effect, they are the infidels. Like fundamentalists of all religious stripes, they have no questions, only answers. They found the perfect antidote to thought and the ideal refuge from the hard demands of real faith. They don't have to struggle for it like Jacob wrestling through the night with the angel, or like Jesus in his 40 days and nights in the wilderness, or like Muhammad, not only that night on the mountain, but throughout his years as a prophet, with the Quran constantly urging him not to despair, and condemning those who most loudly proclaim that they know everything there is to know, and that they and they alone are right. And yet we, the vast and still far too silent majority, have ceded the public arena to this extremist minority. We've allowed Judaism to be claimed by violently messianic West Bank settlers, Christianity by homophobic hypocrites and misogynistic bigots, Islam by suicide bombers. And we've allowed ourselves to be blinded to the fact that no matter whether they claim to be Christians, Jews, or Muslims, militant extremists are none of the above.
Come back for the last 4 minutes of this topic. I hope you will understand and really take in the importance of doubt and faith. Here on the O-Spot on Om Times Radio.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, seat edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back for our final section. Oh, wow. On the O spot. So let's finish Leslie's section and why she talks about with fundamentalism, when they don't allow for doubt, you actually pull away from the truth of faith. Because Moses had doubts, and Abraham had doubts, and Muhammad had doubts. And I truly believe that Jesus had doubts, because he was human on earth. So, away from religion, per se, and more to us, please remember doubt is essential to faith.
They are not all their own. Blood brothers, steeped in other people's blood. This isn't faith. It's fanaticism. And we have to stop confusing the two. We have to recognize that real faith has no easy answers. It's difficult and stubborn. It involves an ongoing struggle, a continual questioning of what we think we know, a wrestling with issues and ideas. It goes hand in hand with doubt, in a never-ending conversation with it, and sometimes in conscious defiance of it. And this conscious defiance is why I, as an agnostic, can still have faith. I have faith, for instance, that peace in the Middle East is possible despite the ever-accumulating mass of evidence to the contrary. I'm not convinced of this. I can hardly say I believe it. I can only have faith in it, commit myself, that is, to the idea of it. And I do this precisely because of the temptation to throw up my hands in resignation and retreat into silence. Because despair is self-fulfilling. If we call something impossible, we act in such a way that we make it so. And I, for one, refuse to live that way. In fact, most of us do. Whether we're atheist or theist or anywhere in between or beyond that matter, what drives us is that despite our doubts, and even because of our doubts, we reject the nihilism of despair. We insist on faith in the future and in each other. Call it naive if you like. Call it impossibly idealistic if you must. But one thing for sure, call it human. Could Muhammad have so radically changed his world without such faith, without the refusal to cede to the arrogance of closed-minded certainty? I think not. After keeping company with him as a writer for the past 5 years, I can't see that he'd be anything but utterly outraged at the militant fundamentalists who claim to speak and act in his name in the Middle East and elsewhere today. He'd be appalled at the repression of half the population because of their gender. He'd be torn apart by the bitter divisiveness of sectarianism. He'd call out terrorism for what it is, not only criminal, but an obscene travesty of everything he believed in and struggled for. He'd say what the Quran says, anyone who takes the life of all humanity. Anyone who saves the life of all humanity. And he'd commit himself fully to the hard and thorny process of making peace. Thank you.
And I have no doubt that not only would he be committed to peace, but he would have doubt. Martin Luther King probably had it. Can't imagine he didn't. And so many others. Mother Teresa, the people we think of as strong and successful, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Madonna, Angelina Jolie. Doubt is essential to faith. It is essential, therefore, to success, and it is essential to our authenticity. And I love how she mentions that despair is self-fulfilling. So if we believe, if you just give over to despair, if you just give over to believing something is impossible, but you could doubt that. I doubt it's impossible. It's hard, difficult, and may take a very long time. But doubt actually keeps us from despair. How powerful is that? What an incredible way to change our thinking around doubt and fear. And I put them together. They aren't there always for people, but I think for most of us, those two are pretty well braided together. So when you are having those moments of doubt, when I'm having those moments of doubt, to notice them is the first step. You know me, I love my 7 steps, 5 steps, 10 steps. Okay, I'm not into exercise all that much. Let's keep it to 7. Noticing them is the first thing. And then knowing that they're not weakening us. Our doubts aren't suggesting a lack of strength. Far from it. They may be suggesting the exact opposite. They could be showing us that this is something deeply and truly powerful, filled with, as Leslie had said, awe in its truest sense. Feel the doubt. Ask yourself why the doubt. Is it because this is something so big? Is it because you know how much work it will take or sacrifice? Sacrifice can be frightening. Is it because you know how much change it's going to bring for others and possibly for you? I mean, how many times do we think, I can't do this. I can't do what it takes necessarily to improve myself because other people around me need me to be the way I am. Now, I know we don't think those things in those exact words, but those of us who've been in enabling situations know it's true that we've stayed the same so as not to rock not only our own boat, but that of others. Doubt is a sign of faith. Doubt is essential to faith. And faith, and as I said, she brings it up in both terms, both in terms of religious faith and belief in a dogma and a religious set of rules. But it's, as she says, she can be, I think she said, an agnostic and still have faith. That's very powerful. You know, it's more than, faith transcends religion. That's something that is a construct. Whether you agree with it or not, it's a construct of some kind. When it comes to your own faith, that is your construct. That is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And the one I'm reading now, Think and Grow Rich for Women by Sharon Lecter. Must recommend. Must recommend. Maybe I'll talk about that more next week. Sharon co-wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad with Robert Kiyosaki. Financial literacy is her passion. But faith is a huge part of, it comes after burning desire. Burning desire, passion, knowing what you want, clarity. That in of itself can be a huge, huge journey for some people, for many people. I've had that at times. Then accepting that clarity. So accepting that burning passion. And the second chapter is faith. And he is not talking about religion. He's talking about that self-belief. That what is your burning passion
is possible. Change the world, change your community, make a better life for your children. I don't care how big your burning desire seems to others, it is big to you. And when you know it and when you have it, you will also have doubt. It has to come because you need to have faith. And when you have that faith in yourself, the doubt will come in. It's essential. We've just heard that. So this week, as I wrap up, I have my last 20 seconds. Notice doubt. Notice that feeling. And if you can, in that moment, just say, it's here because this is important to me. It's here for me to reaffirm my faith in myself, in my burning desire, in my choice, in my job, with my family, whatever it is, whatever the doubt comes from, notice the faith you have that's stronger. My time with you is up today, but I hope you take this out into your world. Live passionate and beautiful lives. Get in touch with me on Facebook. I'm Rachel Kenley for the O Spot on Om Times Radio. Have a wonderful week. Good night.